Yeah. Okay, this will come together. Okay, if it doesn't, too bad. There's three tables. We've been talking about spiritual warfare, and this is probably going to fit in better than what I had. But there are three tables in this place that we live in. The first table is the worldly table, and it's in Ephesians 2:2, where Satan is the prince and power of the air. And we looked at it a couple weeks ago before this dopey storm came through. The word air is ion, and it literally means everything that is manipulatable in our world. It's not just wind, it's air. How many of you have a cell phone, computer, laptop? It's so much fun because nowadays you open up your Bibles and people pick up their phones. And it's the weirdest thing because you're like, no, I said Bibles, not phones. And because you got your Bible on the phone, right? That's part of the ion. It's this system that the world, the flesh, and the devil manipulate us and to try to keep us as part of a system, a closed system. And next week, if you come here, we're going to look at how the system works. I'm going to show you how it works. I'm going to show you the results. And I'm going to show you a Savior that'll go through hell to get you out of the system. Okay? That's real spiritual warfare. But the first table is the table of your senses, your hungers, your needs. And those can be perverted. Did y'all know that your senses and your hungers and your needs, although legitimate, can be perverted? Did you know that? If you don't know that, see me afterwards. You're in for a real eye-opener. And it can be perverted fast. The word perverted, I know it's how we use it today to put labels on people. Perverted means twisted out of its original form. That's what perverted is. Christ has come not to twist us back into our original form, but to give us an all-new form altogether. I like that. For you are created in Christ Jesus for good works, created in Christ Jesus. Different creation. That's the first table. The second table is the table that we're going to share today. In the 23rd Psalm, I love what David shares with this. He says, you have prepared a table for me in the presence of what? My enemies. I like that. I do. I'm kind of twisted, and I'm not normal. I'm just telling you ahead of time. But I love it that David is recognizing that Christ the Lord has put a table in the midst of a wilderness, in the midst of our enemies, and he sets it up in its extravagant table of love, of passion and of healing, of grace and power. And he sets it up in that table in the very midst of the enemies. And this is how powerful our enemies are. They cannot approach that table. Because while we eat in peace, the shepherd stands watch. Do you understand this? In the presence of our enemies, the only reason that we can eat together this table in peace is because there is a shepherd, the chief shepherd, who stands watch. I love that. Then there's a third table. This table is the table that has come. This table is to come when we gather around the Father's table, when he calls us all home, and us as kids, our nameplate will be right there. It'll have a new name. Did you know that your old name will not fit in heaven? Because our old names have been used as curse words. Hasn't yours? And God gives us even a new name, and there's a new nameplate right there, and we get to sit at the table. And oftentimes we joke that New Life will be at the kids' table over on the back. Because at my grandma's house, there was a kids' table. Was there one for you guys, too? Yeah. I'm going to be there. We're going to laugh, and we're going to dance, and we're going to sing. And the Father's table, everything has been prepared. Same with this table. This table is a picture of what is to come. I want you to know that last week, our world was filled with the impending presence of a storm. Did you guys feel that? The anxiety levels went bing way up here. I got lots of phone calls and stuff like, do you think it's coming here? Hang on a second. I know as much as you do. Well, you didn't get a special word from the Lord? No, I didn't. You know, it was just sitting out there, and I was praying for the people in the in the Bahamas because, you know, we went through Andrew. You know, you're praying for those folks, praying for God to watch over them. But it was it's so funny because people want to know, do you know? I don't know, but I know the one that will ride through the storm with us. See, I looked at a few things, and it causes the anxiety and confusion to pop in. How many of you went out and got water? You know, and everything else. Eric and Chris weren't here, so they're like, we didn't do anything. I mean, the anxiety, all of a sudden you're buying water, or you're trying to get gas. Did you wait in line for gas? And stuff like that. Zach, we sent Zach. Zach, go. But along with the anxiety and along with that confusion, something is a result of it, and it's called chaos. And here's two of the things that I perceived from this. First, we perceived that if a storm was actually coming towards us, that we are inadequately prepared. That's why you're out there running around getting water, buying generators, stuff like that, getting gas. We don't have enough water. We don't have enough Pop-Tarts. Do you know Pop-Tarts is the official hurricane snack? Okay. Some of you guys are complaining, too, that I ate all my hurricane snacks and now I'm overweight. That's not my problem, okay? But Pop-Tarts, gas, try to weather this thing. Second, though, the perception of an impending disaster causes in us a paralysis. Because at first you're like, what do I don't have? That's a worldly attitude. That's the attitude of the table of the world. What do I don't have? And how do I need to go get it? And if I have to, I'll do anything to get it. The first table. First table is there's never going to be enough and never will be. And the God of that table will tell you there is never going to be enough and you're never going to be enough and there never will be. And you need to fight and scratch and do whatever it is that you need to do to get what little bit of love, little bit of water you need, and a box of Pop-Tarts. This perception, it causes paralysis to paralyze our heart, our minds, and even our common sense. I saw Christians going kind of bananas. And I want to be honest with you, there will always be a storm brewing, always. I know you're like, well, this isn't very uplifting. No, there always will be. There's always something going on in the world. Eric even, you know, he pointed that out. There's always something going on somewhere. There's some turmoil somewhere because the world's going crazy. There's storms on the horizon of war, famine, hatred, destruction, strife. And these storms cause anxiety and confusion and chaos, and they become the prism through which we see our lives, even for Christians. Today, what I wanted to remind you is this paralysis feeds the thought that we are inadequate. Continue thinking like that, and you will believe your God is inadequate as well. And if you have an inadequate God, you're in trouble. The word inadequate, and I looked it up, is not good enough or not have enough. Inadequate. Insufficient. Not capable. So today, I just wanted to, because a few of you texted me and called me and said, you know, we need to do the Lord's Supper. So whenever that happens, I try to pay attention. I want you to know that at this table, there is enough. There's more than enough. I want you to know also at this table, God will not be kept at arm's length. Have you ever had dinner with somebody you don't like? No, I'm just being honest. You know, you don't lean forward to hear every word that falls out of their mouth. You know, you're not, hey, would you like to salt? You know, first time I went to dinner with Barb, you know, I was an idiot. I think we went to have Chinese food, right? We did. Subs, we went to have subs, yes. Yeah, at a sub shop off Bird Road. It's still there. That's right. And thank you, Brian. I owe you lunch. But I'm telling you because it was somebody I wanted to get to know. I just wanted to know her. But I've been to lunch and with people I don't know, and I really don't really want to get to know. And they're telling me things I don't want to hear, you know. And But I want you to know that our God wants to be the near God. He wants to lean over the table. And I want you to picture this. This table, even though we're in a community setting, this table is set for two. Have you ever watched people that really liked each other, and they're at dinner and they're talking to each other and they're just engaged? The rest of the world is gone. Well, today I want you to have a meal like that. I mean, although we are all here. I was watching a young couple, and they were at the table of the world, and they were probably in their early 30s. And I watched them the whole time. Me and Barbara were having dinner, and the whole time they were doing this with their phones. And I wanted to go up and slap that boy and say, "Hey, Bubba, that's the best thing since sliced bread to come in your life. Man, she is beautiful. Wake up! Put the dang phone away and get to know that woman." And she was doing it too. And they were probably texting each other. I don't know. It was odd. It was just really weird. And Barbara and I, we were having conversations and stuff like that. And there's a difference between people that want to get to know. It's a nearness, and the table is in the way. See, that's what this table needs to be, that the table's in the way. One of the things that Christ will do, we bring all of our stuff to the table. You know, our worries and our anxieties and our fears and we suck and all this other stuff. We put it all on the table. And slowly as Christ begins to speak to us, he's taking one thing off the table at a time, that the table is completely clear. And if he speaks, fine. If we speak, fine. But there is nothing that is more valuable to him than you. That's how it. The word near in our language means this, in a close or intimate manner. And our God is all about invading our personal space. With him, there is no such thing as a 3-foot rule. I used to work for Youth for Christ. There was a 3-foot rule. Back up, back up. Everybody back up. Back up. But with God, he wants to invade your heart. Have you ever thought about the nearness of God and how near he really, really wants to be? See, today, the second table we're going to share today, I want you to know that there is provision in the Lord's presence. And I'll share this with you. In the book of John, in chapter 6, book of John chapter 6, verses 26 through 35, actually, just to give you a little bit of background. Before reading this passage, the day before, Jesus and his disciples were on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and it was there that Jesus fed 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch. Remember the lunch? You know, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? It really, loaves of bread is a mistranslation. It was 5 biscuits. Okay, and this was a poor person's lunch. And the biscuits were made out of barley. Have y'all ever had anything made out of barley? Okay, it's like eating a hockey puck. Barley's not like wheat. Barley does not want to be eaten. Barley is tough. Barley is mean. And barley goes down with a fight. You're like, knack, knack. These are, I'm not even going to ask this question. Yeah, I am. Anybody here ever eat dog biscuits? Okay. I know that there are a couple of you in here that have eaten dog biscuits, okay? I know it by heart. Barb is not raising her hand. She was a kid. Okay, barley biscuits. That's right. But barley biscuits are just like dog biscuits. They're hard. And Jesus Christ created a meal for over 5,000 people. Out of 5 barley biscuits and 2 sardines. So we think fish, we're talking sardine. So this has just happened. When Jesus left the area, the crowds got into boats and crossed over to find him on the other side. You know what they were looking for? Another free lunch. And it's here that Jesus beckons to a deeper hunger. And today I want to have the Holy Spirit satisfy a deeper hunger within you. Beyond the things that you've told yourself that you are, beyond what other people have said you are, I want you to sit at the table with Christ and hear what he believes about you. And Jesus says this, "Truly, truly, I say unto you," in verse 47 in John 6, I am the bread of life. This is the beginning of, in the book of John, Jesus will go on to say seven I am sayings. The first one he says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread came down out of heaven. And if anyone eats this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I give for my life and of the world is my flesh. Jesus says, I'm it. I'm your sustenance. And there will be more than enough. I just want to proclaim to you that no matter how much sin you think you've done, or how much sin you're in. Sin means to miss the mark, the glory of God. That's all it means. It's an archery term. No matter how much you think you've missed, God is more than abundant in his provision to forgive you your sins and lift you up and create a new life. The manna that he talks about was when the Israelites were in the wilderness for 40 years. The manna, the word manna in Hebrew is what? Like, what is it? They did not know what it was. It was good. It tasted good. It tasted like honey and coriander, sesame seeds. And it kept them alive, and it kept their animals alive for 40 years. It showed up every morning. And I've got a book of facts and figures from this mathematician. It was a Christian. And he said the amount of manna that would have shown up to feed all of those people and their animals would be about a foot and a half deep. I always thought it was just on the ground. He said it would have been spread out all over like snow. And every day they would get up and go collect one day's ration. In other words, God is more than enough, and you're going to have to trust him the next day for more than enough. This table is more than enough. Tomorrow morning when you wake up and you got to go hit the grind, he's more than enough. Did you know that sometimes when they became anxious and they collected more and they were putting in five things of water in their basket, may not be enough. And they went out there and they got an extra container. Do you know what happened to the manna? It rotted. It's like, oh, I'm just going to get, whoa, what is that? It would rot overnight. And God says, no, 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 I'm more than enough. You'll have to trust me. This bread also that he's talking about, and just to give you a brief example, it's called showbread. And it was in the temple. And it's found in Leviticus 24 and Exodus 25. The showbread, the ritual involved 12 loaves of bread representing 12 tribes. And it was called showbread because it was always in the presence of this candle that burned, this actually candelabra that burned with the oil of the Lord. And the showbread was continually being bathed by the light of the Lord. Jesus says, I am the showbread. I am it. So today, what I want to call you to is this. Christ is inviting us to the table. And if I can just put in your mind, have you ever been at a restaurant somewhere and somebody paid for your meal? Have you ever had that privilege? And then they don't tell you who they are? I want to encourage you this week to pay for somebody's meal. There's something about us practicing what we preach. So if Christ provided for our table, maybe we can provide for one meal. Just one. Maybe a serviceman or a cop. Somebody, or just somebody that looks like they need it. Dick Barr, he's so funny. Y'all know who Dick Barr is, right? For those of you who don't know, Dick Barr, Dick is 88. How old is Dick? He's 89 years old, and he's our Santa Claus. He looks just like Santa Claus. And he comes to me, he goes, hey man, the funniest thing happened to me the other day. He goes, I was kind of sitting at the restaurant, you know, and I was kind of sitting, eating my meal, and I was taking a breather and everything else. And some guy came up to me and just shook my hand and says, you know what, I just want to kind of help out. He goes, I didn't realize that he paid for my meal. And he left, and he goes, I think he thought I was homeless. I was like, hey, you got a free meal? He goes, I know, I'm going to do it again. So I'm not trying to, no. But right at the bottom of this is for you to keep. Keep this slip for reference. to remember that the meal was paid for, that Christ paid it all on the cross. And look up Ephesians 2:8 or Ephesians 2:10. I have 2:10 on here. And look it up. See what it says. And I'm not going to tell you what it says. But we're going to share the table. The meal's been paid for. In fact, the tip's been given. The tip is God loves you. So, hey, Brad, did we pick out anybody to serve at the table? Oh, we didn't. Okay. Well, let's just do it this way. I need six people, right? I need six people that want to serve the body of Christ. Anybody want to serve? If you're visiting today, this is how we do it. This is church. Come on up. Come on. Yeah. Just come right over here. Wow, this works great. Don't. I know everybody's like, oh, don't drop it. No pressure. Just for a moment. Hey, Christian, where are you? Hey, can you go up there? Okay, folks, pay attention, okay? You guys are servants today, and I want you to look upon the body of Christ. These fine folks are worth more than your life. This is what Christ calls us to, and he calls us to love them and serve them well, with nothing expected in return. This is what we do. This is the table of the Lord. This is the second table. The third table, I can't wait. So we're going to share this table today. And on that night, it says in the Word that Jesus took a cup, very special cup. He said, this cup is the blood of the new covenant, my blood, which is shed for the redemption of sins. Jesus gave it all. He could have gave one drop, but he gave it all. And so today, when we share this cup, I don't want you to come unworthy, but I want you to know that you are worth it. So, Jesus would have prayed this prayer. And he would have held up the cup. So, will you pray with me? Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Blessed are you, O Lord. And then also he took the bread and he blessed it. And he took a loaf. It's called the aphikoman. It was pierced through and one piece hidden. And the child who found the hidden piece gets a prize. We are the children that found the hidden piece. The prize is Christ. And he would have lifted up the bread and prayed this prayer. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Blessed are you, Papa, who gives us the bread of life. And then he told them, and he broke it, and he says, take and eat. But we're going to do what my mama says, and you wait till everybody gets served. Go ahead, Christian. It's not barley bread, so don't. Guys can pass it back and forth, and there you go. Oh no, they'll take it. Yeah. If you want to give a praise, and tell us the story. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. very special. It says, this is the cup of redemption. By this cup we were redeemed. We will never die again. Now we might taste it here, but when we wake up in glory, we'll be dancing forever. I pray for you and for this church that we would long to see his coming. We would ache for it. So as we pass this cup, we'll drink together. I want you to remember of what great worth you are and what it cost for that check to be paid. Thank you, man. Anyone else like to give a praise? I know. I got you. Say it loud.
Okay, so yesterday I went to a housewarming from a girl from my gym, and she doesn't know me that well, but she invited me to come, and I started talking to her daughter, who's 11, and I was talking about a new job that I've gotten recently and how God's changed a lot of things in my life, and it kind of segued into me talking about a dream that I had about my mom. And this 11-year-old, like, perked up, and she told me about a dream about a spider that had tried to come get her. And she started talking to me, and she looked at me dead set in the eyes with all seriousness, and she goes, I have a fear of being alone. And I said, what do you mean? I said, do you mean physically alone or emotionally? She goes, I have a fear of all sorts of being alone. She's 11. So sometimes you don't know where you're going to find yourself talking about God, and it's not always going to come in the form of preaching the gospel per se. Sometimes it's just you living your life and being a little vulnerable with people. So her name is Maria, so obviously I'll be praying for her. So you guys also be praying for her. You never know what kind of impact you're going to have on someone, regardless of how old they are or how young they are or what gender they have. So always keep that in mind.
Amen. Oh, and donate for the folks in the Bahamas. Help them out. Yeah. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? I don't want to miss anybody.
Tell our stories, we'll laugh and we'll sing, and we will all heal, and we will all be free. That's the table to come. Until that moment, we care for one another, bleed for one another, laugh and dance and sing with one another, and encourage one another daily that the King is coming. That's what church is. There will come a day when we are laughing and singing around that table, and the King will enter it. We will lift our cups. So will you raise a cup? We will love Him forever. And we will be free. We will. So Father, we remember the day is coming soon when we will all gather around Your throne and worship You. You will gather us together and call us sons and daughters of the Most High. And until that day, may we learn and work out with fear and trembling how to love one another and to love those that are lost. Thank you, Papa. It is in the beautiful name of Christ that we remember what has been shed for us. Amen. Will you drink in peace?
To one King.
To one love and to one life. Amen. Hey, Christian, would you give me an E? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Cups empty, we look forward to tomorrow when you will fill them up again. So we leave this place a little lighter. Set us on fire that the world might come and watch us burn and burn for the passion of Christ. For it is in the beautiful name of Jesus that we have gathered in this place. Amen. Amen. Hey, y'all, go with God or don't go. Amen.
God bless people like you would be rescued, people like you would be.
Oh, yeah.
Sir.
I know it's an oxymoron.
I'm her favorite.
Sense. I'm her favorite. Thank you, sir.
It made sense.
Yes. Good to have you.